Welcome to the Fat Fueled Family Podcast, where every week we talk about things like nutrition, training,
how to live a healthy and active lifestyle with your little ones, peaceful parenting, education,
and of course, mindset.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Keto Counterculture, at Fat Fueled Mom, and at Fat Fueled Kids, and search for Fat Fueled Family on YouTube.
To stay up to date with everything we're doing, sign up with your email at www.fatfuel.family and check out our blog for workouts, meal ideas, and all the other cool stuff we love to talk about.
Don't forget to hit subscribe.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. My name is Danny Vega, and I'm joined today by my beautiful wife, Maura. Hi. Are you, my love?
I'm doing okay.
We've had a pretty good week so far. She's giving me a face. We haven't had a good week. That was pretty good. We're still recovering.
I'm still recovering from the weekend.
Yeah. It's my fault. She's looking at me with a face because we went to Miami to record kitchen videos with our friends from Better Cantina, who's a food delivery service in Miami. And yeah, I usually don't take her along with me, but sometimes, well, they wanted you. You're the talent. So
yeah, it's not just that. It's just all the things.
All the things.
No rest.
I'm trying to slow down. We have another few weeks where we can slow down and then back on the road. But I promise I'm trying. All right. So today we are joined by Katie Kimball, and she's the national voice of Healthy Kids Cooking. She's a blogger, former teacher, and mom of four kids who founded the Kids Cook Real Food e-course. Her blog, Kitchen Stewardship, helps families stay healthy without going crazy, and she's published 8 cookbooks. Katie created her cooking classes for kids to help parents get a little help in the kitchen, build life skills, and hopefully even get some kids to eat vegetables. But through her work and research, she realized that teaching kids to cook is the best way to show kids that they matter and can make a difference in the world. She believes if every child in America was taught to cook, we would smash statistics on childhood obesity, depression, behavior disorders, and more. And we totally agree with that. We want to welcome you. Welcome, Katie.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Danny and Maura. I'm so excited to be here and talk about family health with you guys and how to save the world.
Yes, that's totally what we think we're doing. So that's our mission, whether it's true or not. That's what we're doing. So
I'm in, guys. I'm on your team.
I love it.
All right. Well, we'll start with our leading question. What is the most critical problem that you are currently trying to solve?
Okay, well, that's kind of in my bio, the whole like crisis of kids' health in our country. Every time you see a statistic about kids' health, whether it's depression and anxiety, ADHD, obesity, diabetes, like the things that you didn't even used to be seen in kids, the graphs are just going up and up and up and up. And it makes my heart rate go up. It stresses me out because I don't want to think about my kids experiencing that. And I don't want to think about their generation, you know, the kids around them, their friends experiencing all that. How are they going to function as adults? They're spending all their time in doctor's offices and stuck to prescriptions. So it's very concerning. I would say out of all of that, one of my major focuses right now is stress and anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually becoming a certified stress mastery educator through the American Institute of Stress. And so that's been really exciting to like go back into the academic world and learn a little bit, but also very humbling because I stink at managing my own stress, like totally stink at it. So first I have to figure out how to walk the talk and use stress in positive ways, you know, change kind of the way I look at the world and the way I allow stress to affect me. So it's been really, 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 really good and challenging and difficult. And I'm excited to kind of bring that into what I do with kids in the kitchen, because it's all related. We all live in one body and the stress and the food and the connection with family, it's all kind of part of the same recipe that we need to shift to get a healthier generation.
Wow, we totally agree with that. And to your point on it being part of something bigger, because, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about nutrition and we talk about, you know, we live a low carb lifestyle, and that's just one component of it, you know, and the stress is so important. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the family dynamic, that aspect of it, because it's another huge problem that, you know, families are just completely disconnected. And a lot of the stuff that we do actually helps bring families closer. closer. And that's why we love what you do, because I think it's a great way. It's one of those great ways. And it could be a meditative type of, you know, stress reliever type of stuff. So we're super excited to talk to you today.
Absolutely. Yeah, we find that when kids are creative in the kitchen and kind of working with vegetables, getting connected with their food, and maybe even all the way back to gardening, it's definitely a stress reliever. It's a way for families to connect. And it's a way to kind of make it stick. You know, we can talk about nutrition all we want. We can feed our kids the right foods all we want. But if they don't buy into it, it'll be sayonara parents when they leave the house. And so, you know, both building the competence that they can feed themselves and kind of letting all those facts sort of settle in to their system because they understand what we're doing. That's all part of what we do at Kids Cook Real Food.
Well, that's great because Maura, she learns. Part of how she learns is by practice, you know, and I'm sure that our kids, hands-on stuff. So, you know, of course, you're right. You know, we do have the conversations and we ask questions and all that stuff and we lead by example, but adding that practical component is so huge.
And it's something that's getting lost, you know, less and less. Young adults cook for themselves anymore. I mean, I grew up, I'm Cuban, so we're taught to cook. Like we're making our own eggs. We're taught to cook at a young age. I'm so thankful that my grandma was always, and I was always interested too. I always loved being in the kitchen, but it's so true when you give them that independence and that power of just knowing that you can create something in the kitchen, you're just less likely to eat out, which even if you were to eat something healthy, it's still, you know, you're still eating out. You don't know what's in the food. You can never really account for all of that stuff.
Yeah. And it's expensive. I don't think we can expect our college students to be paying for someone else to make their food, especially not high quality, you know, homemade type food. So it's really about building healthy adults who are able to kind of go out into the world and do what they need to do.
Yeah. So we kind of, I think we understand that you're a mom of four. So we kind of have an idea, but we'd love to hear what led you to create this resource for children and parents.
Yeah, well, Maura just touched on one of the inspirations, and it's that you are so lucky, Maura, that your family taught you to cook because you're in the small minority. So many of our generation, like definitely the generation that's in their 20s, but even like those of us in our 30s and 40s, we were kind of skipped. We were victims of the convenience food revolution. And even those of us whose moms may have cooked some from scratch, they didn't often take the time to teach us. And it's so funny. I feel like it was like they had our best interests at heart. Like everyone said, oh, I want my kids' lives to be better than mine was, you know, which unfortunately sometimes translated into, I don't want them to have to work very hard, which meant that we didn't learn how to grow up.
Yep.
And so we didn't end up with better lives because we don't know what we're doing here in adulthood. So that's kind of the script that I'm trying to flip because I don't want to hear, you know, at Kitchen Stewardship, I heard over and over, Katie, like I want to be healthy. It's so extra hard for me because I was never taught to cook at all. Like forget cooking healthy. I don't know how to cook anything. And I feel like if we don't insert something different into what's become a habit now of not really passing this on to our kids, 20 years from now, the kids are going to be like, oh, I wish I could be healthy, but I don't know how to cook. You know, my mom never taught me. So I kind of saw like a real need there. And I also realized I had sort of a moment in time when my oldest, he's 13 now, when he was in fourth grade, he had to do a how-to speech. He had to teach his class anything from how to raise a caterpillar to how to swing a baseball bat to how to make chocolate chip cookies, anything. And I was kind of like, oh, honey, you know, your mom does food. Like, you could do food, a little peer pressure. And he's a good boy. So, of course, he did food. He taught his class how to make homemade guacamole, which has been like his signature thing. Yeah. So healthy, which is cool. And it was kind of his thing that he made for the family, had been since he was in first grade. And as I was watching him there in class, you know, take the big chef's knife and do the whole thwack, and all the adults' mouths are like hanging open, like they think they're going to, you know, kill himself. And I knew I'd trained him well, but I also had a moment in my own head that was a little negative, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the only thing he knows how to make. So as proud as I was, as proud as I was, on the flip side, I was like, I'm teaching people all over the world to cook and be healthy. I've completely forgotten to move my kids forward in those skills in the last 4 years. You know, life got busier. We moved houses. We had more children. And I had completely just let it go by the wayside. So I do have a background as a teacher. So I went a little bit overboard, perhaps, and created a whole curriculum instead of just like, oh, I'm just going to do this more. I thought, no, I got to like do this thing. So I created a whole curriculum. I invited their friends over every week in the summer because, again, I know myself, if I didn't have someone else counting on me, I'd skip it. Right. I'd be like, oh, I don't really feel like it. I forgot to buy the groceries. Like, we'll just skip it. But we had three other kids coming over to our house. So it was like, it was a real deal thing. And that's actually what I tell members and what I would tell your audience. Like, if you want to make something happen, figure out what your personality needs. Do you need to write it in the calendar? Well, do it. Do you need to invite people over to make it like a real thing that you can't skip? Do that. You know, it's great to do a babysitting swap too. I always encourage people, you know, if that's your challenge, you're going to have the toddler pulling on your leg or trying to get the knives from the counter or whatever, you know, find another mom with similar age kids and say, listen, I'll teach your big kids to cook. You take the little kids. It'll be great. So that's kind of what I did. And then turned all of that work into our Kids Cook Real Foodie course because I wanted to give parents a boost. I want to make it easier for them. So you don't have to know how to cook. You know, you don't have to know where to start. I'll do all that thinking for you. People can just watch the videos and have the like beautiful moments in the kitchen with their kids.
I love that so much. And correct me if I'm wrong, they're live sessions. And then if you sign up for the course, are they live sessions or are they just watching the video?
No.
And then if they are live,
We don't really do live. And part of that is because it's so nice to have edited, produced videos for kids because kids don't want to watch 45 minutes. They want to watch 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know? So,
Genius.
So all the classes are pre-recorded, professionally filmed. And I worked really hard to kind of build the skills on each other so that it makes logical sense too, that you're progressing and continually practicing your skills.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I'm probably going to get on that with my kids because it's something that is super important to me. But like you've said, life gets busy and I've definitely been neglecting that aspect. Especially because, you know, it's like they make more of a mess and all that stuff. So sometimes I'm just like, I don't have time for this, but yeah, we got to make it happen. So anyways, we follow a low carb diet. And one of the things people notice when switching to low carb is that there's a lot more cooking, obviously, more food prep involved. And a lot of people tend to shy away from it because of that, which is a shame. What do you think? Do you have any tips or what can they do to get more comfortable in the kitchen?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely with low carb, that means more vegetables, which is a beautiful thing. That's pretty much how we eat as well. So I encourage parents to not be afraid of the knives. Okay. So this is for parents.
Oh,
to use.
We're with you. We're so with you. We love this. When we love that people freak out because we're the complete opposite. So I love this.
Yeah. So, I mean, and this is, you know, whatever, like use a course, use a class, go to a cooking school, whatever you do, like do this in your house, like give your 2-year-olds a butter knife and a banana, teach them how to use it safely. I always say we teach our students the same techniques, the same holds with a butter knife as a chef's knife, because when your kids are, you know, consistently using a tool and you teach them to use it as if it's sharp. Oh, put your hand on the other end of the banana, you know, keep your hand away from the blade. By the time they're 5, you feel really comfortable with giving them a paring knife, not just giving it to them, but, you know, letting them use a paring knife and sticking close. Yeah. And so it makes for a lot less fear in parents, a lot more confidence in both the parents and the kids. If you can start young and, you know, build up to it. Now, if your kids are already 10, that's okay. Great. Like, but start with the paring knife. You want the size of the knife to fit the kids' skills and abilities and experience. You want the size of the knife to fit the food. So this is really important, I think. And this is something, again, anyone can use. If you're working with your child, teaching them to use a sharp knife, start with that paring knife, but you got to think about what they can cut. Paring knives are great for strawberries, mushrooms, you know, a little bit softer foods. I love zucchinis and cucumbers because they feel like they're a step up. You can't do them super well with a butter knife, you know, and they're long, so you can keep your hand on the other end. So those are really good. Even celery is good for a paring knife, but carrots, not so much. Onions, not so much. Like then now we're starting to create a dangerous situation because it's not the right knife for the food. So that's, you know, as you're working with your kids at home, just always think about the size of the knife and if it's appropriate for the food. I'll see, oh man, like people love those safety knives. And there's some interesting videos on YouTube.
Oh, I haven't even seen those.
Oh yeah. They're like, I mean, it's what I've had for years is a lettuce knife. So they're plastic and they have a little serrated edge and they're called safety knives for kids. And they are cool because they empower kids to be able to do more than they could do with maybe a butter knife because of that serrated edge. But I feel like it creates poor habits. Number one, because it's serrated, so you have to like saw blade everything, which is not how real knives work. You know, if it's sharp, you just push or slide or whatever.
Yeah.
And it makes kids have to push really hard and work really hard. So I see these videos of like chefs working with kids and they're trying to cut carrots with these knives. And they're like, oh, isn't this great? The kids can use these knives and they're totally safe. But the kids like having to throw their shoulder into it and saw blade this carrot. Oh, and goodness. I'm thinking, they're 10. Like, let's give them a proper knife, teach them some proper skills, you know, and let them feel good about it. Kids feel so good when they know they're doing real skills. And I think they can't articulate it, but I do think they feel a little disrespected when they're just given, you know, fake knives dressed up as kid knives. So we teach kids to use real knives right away as much as possible. I always, you know, counsel our members to buy actual knives that are metal with sharp blades and to keep them sharp.
Yes.
Is it okay if I give your audience a little gift?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So we love to get kids in the kitchen with knives. Don't take that the wrong way. But we have our...
No, we love this idea.
Kids are great. We have our 10-minute knife skills and safety class. So that's just our basic holds, our basic techniques for kids ages 2 to 12 and beyond. If your kids are older than 12 and they don't know how to cut yet, they can use this too. And people can find that, access that for free at kidscookrealfood.com/fatfueledfamily. And that is a little hard to say.
Awesome. So, we'll definitely be putting that in the show notes. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you mentioned that because that was actually one of our questions, because that's something we feel strongly about. You know, we eat a lot of steak and I mean, you got to give the kid a steak knife. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to be so hard and I don't want to cut it for him. And I also want to give him that, you know, that opportunity, chance and empower him to grow. And like, it's true. Other people like gasp when they see Desmond, our 8-year-old, with like a legit steak knife.
But he's got like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
Experience.
You got to teach them. Yeah. You got to teach them young.
I love the progression that you talk about. And I also really, both of us really appreciate the respect that you give children because, you know, it's so true. Like they don't want the plastic phone, that toy. They want your phone. They, you know, from an early age, they want to see what you're doing. They're, you know, they want to be a part of that and giving them that responsibility and of course teaching them responsibly about it. It empowers them and it gives them. You see the confidence growing in them. And
yeah, for sure. I realized I got totally distracted from your question about vegetables in general, though. It's all about knives. You can't break into the produce section if you don't know how to cut anything open. It's like coded with a secret code. What's the code? The code is knife skills. So if you want your kids to eat healthy foods, whether you're low carb meat and vegetables, whether you're vegan, vegetarian, like pretty much everybody agrees vegetables are good for you. And so I'm all about teaching kids like how to get into them. And one thing we do find is that, and research shows this too, but even better experience proves it, is that when kids work with food, they're more likely to give it a try and they're more likely to appreciate it. So I have story after story of kids who would not eat, you name it. Celery is usually one that people talk about because it's in class number one. And they're like, my kid ate celery. If I knew all they had to do was watch, you know, a video and cut some celery, I would have done this years ago. And I have another great story. We teach peeling pretty young too, because that's something that little kids really can handle. And two girls in this family, they're 4 and 5 and a half, totally not interested in veggies. They were not interested in doing this peeling lesson. But the mom like used encouraging words. We watched the video. I use a lot of humor in the video. So there's the peeling one's actually pretty funny. And we do a lot of giggling. Great. And these girls love that. So they wanted to participate in like the funny part. And then they ate the peels. They ate the maple glazed carrots for supper. And, you know, then you can say, wow, like, look, you helped make supper. And the girls ate them all. So like super success to hear stuff like that.
I love it. Yeah, we're totally on board with that. That's something that I always tell parents too, you know, because, you know, kids don't want to try stuff right off the bat. But when they are invested and they've helped make something, they most of the time.
Yeah, it's not magic pixie dust, but it's a step in the right direction. And actually, I love there's science behind continuing to try and continuing to do it. I'm a total science geek. I love learning about research. And the research shows that each person kind of has their own threshold at which they'll like something. So we're always told when our babies are toddlers, like, oh, you have to feed them something 10 times before they like it. But we know that's not true, because some kids like things after one time. For some kids, it's going to take 27. For some very selective eaters, it's going to take 150. It's not just 10, but that idea is there. And what's really cool is that any encounter with food, whether it's with your hands or your mouth, counts. So if you've got a really selective eater, that's the like politically correct term for picky eater, and they're, you know, they won't eat broccoli. Well, guess what? If they can purchase broccoli at the farmer's market with you, wash it, cut it, cook it, serve it, boom, 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 you're 5 steps closer to your 150 instead of just having to put it on their plate every day.
Love it.
So like that gets me super excited, because I think there's sort of an epidemic of kids who refuse to eat a wide variety of foods. And so that exposure is incredibly important, and you don't see it right away. It's not like, again, it's not magic pixie dust, but it's building up sort of a tolerance to that food and getting them closer to the point at which they'll try it quicker.
Amazing. You brought something to mind, a few things. The first one is one of the conversations we have with our kids is how, you know, our palates have changed over our lifetime. So when I was a little kid, I didn't like mustard. I didn't like olives. I didn't like pickles. And now I do. And so we continually offer them food every 1 or 2 months if it's something that they don't really like. And I think it's a great way for them. Not only are you subtly giving them more exposure to that food and possibly, you know, letting them develop that flavor for it, but it's also like, I wonder if now is when I'm going to like it, or I wonder if it's a little bit older. So it's like they're like,
I still do it with olives. I still don't like them, but I still tries them. Like every
poor thing,
every
she
so
wants
often.
To like the olives.
I really want to like olives so that I could have the option.
And yeah, because I crush the olives. I love the olives.
I'm like, maybe my taste buds changed.
And that's such a good example. That's such a good example for your kids. In inserting a little bit of reverse psychology into that can be powerful too. Like, oh, well, that's really an adult taste. You might not like that till you're an adult, because then the kids are like, hubba, what?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm a big boy. I can do
exactly.
This.
Yeah.
I love it. And you know, this whole aspect of, we've been talking about this as well, of getting them involved, not only in the process of preparing the food, which we absolutely love. And, you know, we think that a lot of families maybe don't know where to start. That's why we think your service is awesome. But the other thing is that we talk about, you know, involving them in the buying process. So that's where like these more conversations come in, where we like, okay, let's look at these labels. Is it organic? You know, what's in it? Is this in it? Well, you know, they already know. Our kids are pretty smart. They know a lot of these weird sugar names and stuff. But like you said, getting them involved in the preparing of food, we've done that, and it's led to them for sure being much more accepting of the lifestyle and much more adventurous in what they eat. Let me ask you this. What would you say is like a good age range to start getting kids involved in the kitchen, and how does that look? You know, cause I know that you talked about the knife skills. Is that where you're starting, or is it something where you're like, okay, let's make like a very simple recipe. How does that look, and how early can they start?
Yeah, so as early as possible. I mean, I'm all about, you know, holding your babies and wearing your babies in the kitchen and letting them lick the carrot and smell the cinnamon and all that as early as possible. As far as like more intentionally teaching skills, I generally say about 18 months. And then that depends on, you know, your child's maturity and ability to listen to directions. So in that age group, like anything before 5, your major goal as a parent wants to be, or is to have positive experiences in the kitchen. So if that's your 9-month-old banging on pots, great. Like that's part of building a healthy eater. You know, if that's your 18-month-old splashing in the dishwater or pretending to wash dishes, like that's all part of the system of parenting a healthy eater. But what anyone can use, so if you've got a child between like 18 months and 5 years, some of the skills that you can teach are definitely that whole butter knife thing with soft foods like melons or already cooked carrots, stuff like that. And then you think about, what do they do in preschool? They're doing a lot of fine motor skills. So that's the same practice that you can give them in the kitchen. So we want to do things like pouring, and you don't need special supplies. You just grab your creamer pitcher or a 1 cup measuring cup, right? And some dry rice or water or whatever, and do some pouring practice. The kids, it's like a fun activity for them. Okay. It's really fun for them to do that.
Yeah. I love pouring anything.
And we, you know, they'll pour in the bath and they'll have fun and stuff, but they get a little wild. And so if you're trying to teach it as a skill, you know, we talk about the parts of the pitcher and we teach them where to aim and, you know, just kind of bring it down to, we're going to kind of do this for real for a while. And then you can go play in the tub and be a little more zany with your water. So we do a lot of pouring. We do a lot of making salads. So, you know, you might have cut up the salad ingredients, but we talk about how different colors have different superpowers, and the kids feel empowered to make a salad for the adults. And then there's that beautiful pride, you know, in serving someone something you've made. And then we actually do, I do think that kids at that age can measure well. And this helps parents too, because I think you mentioned, Mauta, like they're so messy. And that's a huge block. It's a huge block for so many parents. They're messy and they're slow. And so we get in our own heads and we're like, maybe this won't be worth it. Maybe not today. Maybe I'll wait another year, you know?
Exactly. I don't have time. I don't have time today.
I saw an awesome meme once that was like, you think you have patience until you let your child help you make something in the kitchen or something like that. And it's so true. But it just, you know, you have to make the time and like, you know, it when is so the true. Time.
And I think, you know what, that meme is like perfect though, because it's not about letting the child help you make something in my book. And that's good and that's fine, right. But I think it's better to build the skills. So if you can say like, we're going to work on measuring today, like I'm going to teach you to measure flat and to measure carefully. And then I'm going to teach you to stir. Like we teach 5 different ways to stir for the kids. And so they have all, you know, you can say, do a roller coaster stir, do a lawnmower stir, do a hula hoop. And now they're stirring correctly.
I love it.
And they're not popping food out of the bowl as much. They're not spilling as much when they're measuring. So parents are happier. Kids feel more empowered. And that's really what sets us apart, is that we don't really do recipes. I mean, we do. We have to show some food, right? But we don't say, here's how to make this recipe. It's here's a skill. Yeah. Apply it to whatever recipe works for your family. And that's something, you know, I can help people. I'm happy to be on someone's team. But that's something you can do in your own household too, is just think about, okay, what skills do I need to use? What skills are developmentally appropriate for, you know, the little kids we already went over? And how can I build these skills and give them chances to practice as we make recipes together?
Well, you know, it's obvious that you're a teacher. You have the heart of a teacher, you know, because you understand children, and it's so important for us. And I want to just put this out there for our listeners, is the point that Katie made about this being fun, you know, because I think, especially nowadays, because nowadays everybody's so focused. We're not this way, but a lot of people are. They fall into it. We've become aware of it. So we've gotten out of it. And people are so focused on results. Like they want to put their kid, there are literally preschools with entrance exams for 18-month-olds. Like you have to basically, it's this culture where, you know, you have to get there now and you have to be ahead, because if not, you're not going to make it because everybody else is doing it. And you get, you know, that's what we're talking about. And so I think that parents, if they just understand going into this course, this is going to be a bonding experience. This is something that is so much more than just teaching your kids to cook food. Like if I were to throw a camera in the house, I would want to look at laughing, you know? And so as the parent, I think it's our job to keep, you know, to keep our calm, to be patient, and to know that there's going to be a mess. And,
right. Like
and
expect
it's okay.
it and yeah. manage your expectations. You know, if someone makes a spill, it's
a 5-year-old is going to make a mess.
It's going to happen.
A 7-year-old is going to make a mess.
But it's an investment. You know, when you talk about, my hair all stood on end when you talked about preschool entrance exams, because that makes me so sad that the pendulum has swung so far in that direction. I mean, really, like if we want our kids to succeed, and not that I think that that is the most important thing, but if we want them to be successful, they need to have confidence. They need to know that they can do things. And that's where I believe kitchen work can be the most powerful thing they can do, because they're actually creating something real. It's not just a craft. It's not just meeting the next milestone in academia. It's like, my family needs to eat and I can help them do that. Like there's no better way to build genuine self-esteem than to teach actual life skills. And because we eat 3 times a day and we probably don't clean, you know, we don't dust or vacuum 3 times a day. Well, 3 times. If you have kids, you're eating 5 times a day, right? And so it's a, yeah, it's so empowering to pull kids into that process. And it's helpful for parents too. I think whenever we talk about the, oh, my kids are messy, my kids are slow, I don't have time, you know, we got to think of the end game in two ways. One, what do we want for them as adults, which is somewhat motivating to some people, but it's also easy to look at your 3-year-old or your 7-year-old and go, eh, I got time. You know, but what do we want?
Yes.
If we're eating like a low carb lifestyle with tons of veggies and meats, like you are spending a decent amount of time in the kitchen. Don't you want to be spending more time with your kids? Right. So not only is that time in the kitchen together quality time with a super productive output, but the kids can also take over. I mean, we had an incident in our own family last summer. My 3-year-old got a concussion right before dinner. And so, yeah, it was kind of bad. I was on the phone with the doctor. My husband's rubbing his back as he's vomiting. And it's, you know, 6:30. In many households, this would have been like, like we have to order pizza, or like everybody's hungry and now everybody's crying. What happened in our household is my 10 and 13-year-old took over, finished dinner, cut up the vegetables, sat down at the table with the 7-year-old, had the homemade ranch, and they were eating by the time we were like off the phone with the doctor. And like, I've never felt so proud of them in my life, but that can't happen. That can't happen in a crisis if you don't teach them first.
That's so true. And that's a great kind of segue to our next question, because one of our main focuses currently is building resilience in our kids, because we see how it's lacking. Yeah, it's lacking, and it's getting worse in today's children and young adults. And we have, you know, college students having their parents calling for them, you know, just all types of, you know, just
lots
very
of fragile people.
How do you think kitchen work and healthy eating can help build resilience in these kids and help them avoid things like depression and anxiety? Because that's another topic we're also very passionate about. These rates are unacceptable.
It's alarming. It's alarming how many kids are not only just feeling that alone and that depressed and anxious, but are on psychotropic medications for it. Like, oh my goodness, terrifying. Yeah, right. So definitely a problem we need to work on. You know, building resilience is all about, number one, knowing that you can trust yourself. Number two, knowing that there are other people around you, kind of forming that web of protection that if you fall, they'll be there to love you and help pick you up. And then number three, not being so taxed. So we can, you know, we kind of can think of like our ability to handle stress as a bucket, right? And everything that goes poorly in your life, whether it's, you know, an encounter with a bully or getting a bad grade or eating inflammatory foods, right? Being exposed to environmental toxins. The body is the body. Yeah. It's all one bucket. All of those things are like poking holes in the bucket. And anything that we can do to build that resilience or build those holes, like competence and confidence, like eating better foods, which of course happens more when you're working with food, and just having those connections, having some downtime when you're not stressed out, and creative outlets too. You know, we talk about kids are not really taught to be creative in schools very much. We don't know how to be bored because we pick up a screen, which is stimulating our brain to be faster and react quicker and be less resilient, right? So the kitchen is a beautiful place to be off those screens, to be working with your hands, to be, you know, infusing your own creativity into what you're doing. And we talk about that too in our classes, like how do we smell different spices and what might go together and how can you like throw together some old leftovers to create a new meal? All those things help to fill that bucket and help to start to plug some of those holes that our environment and our culture continually poke into our kids' resiliency bucket. So it just can't be understated the importance of working with food and of eating the right food and connecting families together in the kitchen. I think, oh man, when you said resilience, I'm like, yes, let's talk about this. This is exactly what our kids need.
Yeah, no, we know that that's something that, you know, that you focus on, and that's why we wanted to ask you about it. We knew that you'd get excited about it. The thing that you just made us realize something really, really cool, because we just had a friend on who's an occupational therapist, and we were talking about the screens and how those can, you know, literally a few weeks without screens, and this one child had a nervous tic that disappeared. And like these older, I guess we got to call them older because, you know, we're so advanced in technology, but yet we're going backwards in our competency and our resiliency, all of those things. And the kitchen is definitely one of those things. It's like, you know, the vegetables are not going to cut themselves. The steak is not going to cut itself. Like all of these things still, thankfully, have to be done by humans. and it's a beautiful way for us to get back to this, you know, this, and I'm not saying, because trust me, I'm the furthest thing from someone who wants to go back in time. I've been asked before, like, when would you want to live in history? And I always say now, because while it's cool to you know, have some of the things that were going on before, it wasn't an option. Like the things now, like, weren't even an option. So like, I don't want to be in a place where it's inconvenient without the choice of convenience. I'd rather be make it inconvenient for myself with that choice still there. So. but yeah, this making it something, part of your, I guess, lifestyle versus it's just one other way to get these kids off the screen because it's so addictive and it's, you're right. Like it's hard to compete with those screens, like the lights and it's giving them that dopamine hit every single time.
Totally. I have a number of stories from members when like the mom has maybe morning sickness or actual sick or needs to nurse a baby where the kids, even as young as 6 or 7 are jumping in and making a lunch, or like I'm looking at one right now where the child made breakfast before the mom got up because she was kind of sick in the morning. And it's just, it's amazing. I mean, those kids could easily have flipped on a screen and watched a show or played a game, right? But because they had some skills and felt confident in the kitchen, they were able to help out, be responsible, serve their family. Like an attitude of service and generosity is what a lot of us want for our kids too. And that can really be fostered in the kitchen as well.
Amen to that. Hey, everybody. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to let you guys know about a company we've been a fan of for over a year now. This is a really cool company because, number one, they're convenient. They make some delicious products. And they were also so cool when Dean had the accident. They said that's a great care package. The boys love their products. We love their products. They're convenient. And that's Real Good Foods. Real Good Foods has chicken crust pizzas, cauliflower pizzas. They have these awesome enchiladas that the boys love. Good products, low carb, keto friendly. And if you see the comparison compared to actual other packaged foods, there's no comparison. So they have a store locator. They're available at places like Walmart and supermarkets. I've also seen them even at Vitamin Shop, which is pretty cool. And if you wanted to shop for them locally, you can look at the store locator online. But we have a code and it's FatFueledFam, and that'll give you $10 off your order. So if you're in a time pinch and you don't have time to cook yourself a nice home cooked meal, definitely look into Real Good Foods. They get the Fat Fueled Family seal of approval. And without any further ado, back to our show.
Amazing. So before we get to our next question, I wanted to just ask a question because this is something, you know, we met a few months ago and I haven't had a chance to do this. We are definitely going to do this with our kids, but I would like to know kind of, can you walk us through the course? Like how many weeks is it? And is it something that people go start to finish, or is it something where they say, I want to learn about this, so I'm going to go to this section and we're going to spend some time on this?
Well, or is it like a curriculum? Set up in a logical and organized fashion, but it's also at your own pace. So if you want to, you know, jump into the sauteing lesson, you can, but I would prefer you do stovetop safety first, right? Because that's really important. So we set up three levels. We made this as family friendly as possible. So our beginners are preschoolers. Intermediate is kind of the early elementary, like once kids can read a recipe on their own. And then advanced is upper elementary and beyond. And especially for families with kids at multiple ages, it's kind of cool because if you teach kind of lesson one in each level at the same time, all of those foods sort of come together to coordinate in one meal or snack. So that it's something that the whole family can really do together. And each level has 8 classes, 8 videos. So if you want, you know, if you've got some preschool kids, you could do the beginner level in 8 sessions. So it could be 8 weeks, could be 8 months. Family life is family life, right? So we find that a lot of people get really excited and motivated and they jump in and then life happens and they might take a few months off. And we have a Facebook group for members at our VIP level, and they're always like, oh, we really need to get back in. And that's where I can, you know, encourage and motivate people. Like, it's okay. It's never too late. Just do it. So yeah, I mean, we've got people who smash it out in 8 weeks. We've got people who dribble it out in 3 years, but that's okay, because that's parenting, right? We've got all the way till they're 18 to make an impact on them. But generally what families will do is watch the video, which range from 3 to 20 minutes. Because again, so there are some very simple skills, and then often we're making an entire dinner. And then they'll go into the kitchen and gather the supplies and work together. So I'm the demonstrator. I show the skills. We use a lot of really fun memory phrases. So like I mentioned in our knife skills class, you'll hear saw blade and up and over soldier and hey, hey, out of the way, everything, you know, little rhymey mnemonics so that kids remember their safety techniques, and then parents feel more comfortable, you know, with fire and knives and all that stuff. And then, yeah, so the kids definitely can go through skills in a logical progression, and they build on each other. So 8 weeks at each level, that's 24 total skills. Plus for those families kind of working on it together, we have what we call an all kid video. So that's something that everybody can do, like the knife skills video that we're gifting to your audience at kidscookrowfood.com/fatfueledfamily. So that's an example of the all kid, where all the ages are together learning like a really basic broad skill. That's where we talk about smelling spices and like washing produce, you know, kind of the stuff that everybody needs to know, no matter your skill or maturity level. So that's 8 more videos. So 32 total skill videos in our class. It's very comprehensive. And most people wouldn't do all of those at once, because they got to wait for their kids to kind of grow up.
I think we should name this episode Fire and Knives. Fire, Knives, and Your Children.
Good deal.
Well, very provocative. Trying to get them.
Yes, fire needs to have two meanings, though, because we need to light a fire under parents to like feel that motivation, like, hey, this really is important. We really want to do this for the health of our children, for their confidence, for our connection.
Yes, we're
going to make 100%. It
happen. So I wanted to ask you another question, because you did mention that you were certified in stress mastery. And this is another one of our things, not only for ourselves, of course, we always try to manage our stress, and but we also with our children, you know, I've done meditations with my son. We've taught him breathing and all those things. So, you know, this is a huge part of the lifestyle. Even if you're living a somewhat healthy lifestyle, stress can really sabotage your progress. So what are your thoughts on some ways to manage stress? And possibly, I wonder if, you know, using cooking to help, it seems like a very meditative process. Is that a part of what you're doing with the stress mastery stuff?
It is. Yeah. I'm in the middle of my certifications. I'm not quite certified yet, but I will be like 2 months from now. So maybe when the podcast airs. But yeah, you said it perfectly. Stress really can undermine everything else you're doing to try to live a healthy lifestyle. And one thing I like to talk to parents about is how the dinner table can be a really good opportunity to sort of help your kids get a good perspective on stress. So like we encourage families through like my own show, The Healthy Parenting Connector at Kids Cook Real Food. We would encourage parents to take that time and, you know, talk about your day. And that's, well, how was your day? Kids say, I don't know. Don't remember. So it's really good to have some structure. In our family, we use the 3 L's. So what did you learn today? How did you love someone else? And when did you laugh? Okay. And that's very intentional. Ooh, because laughter, of course, is stress relieving. So if someone can tell us when they laughed, we might laugh again with them. It's very intentional too, just because going back over your day and thinking about positive things can help encourage an attitude of gratitude. And of course, gratitude is one of the most evidence-based ways to help reduce our stress and just kind of, again, we call it changing the stress lens. Okay. So what happens to you isn't necessarily stressful. It's how we interpret it. And so helping our children build that like appropriate stress lens. Okay, that happened. How did you feel? Yes, your feelings are okay. You know, what's our next step? And just helping them to see that not everything that feels stressful at first actually has to be stressful in their bodies. It doesn't have to necessarily increase their heart rate and, you know, make them nervous. Right. And that's where breathing comes in too. And so we talk about starting the meal with some slow breaths, so that not only can we help our stress to reduce, but also, of course, you guys, I'm sure, know that that's the best way to digest your food, is you want to get into that
parasympathetic. Yeah, get yourself ready to get that rest and digest. Yep, that's great. Exactly. I love it.
And this, we're, you know, hopefully we're eating dinner together anyway. I know that like national average is actually pretty poor. It's like less than 2 times a week, but I'm assuming that your audience is well above average because they know what's up. So if you're eating dinner together anyway, like why not integrate these super simple, like 30-second practices to kind of supercharge that time and give your kids, again, kind of that base or that web to hang on to when stressful events do happen. They know you're there. And there's
wow,
that like,
I love it. Cause we were doing that. We weren't doing the three L's. We're totally going to steal that.
Go
from
for
you.
It.
Love that.
Cause we used to say, yeah.
No, yeah. Cause it's just true. Sometimes you get like, I don't know. Or
yeah. Cause we were saying like, you know, what was your favorite part about the day? And then we would say, what was the most difficult part about it?
Right.
And this is a little bit more, the way you use the words, it puts you in a more favorable situation,
right?
Because of the types of answers that you'll get.
Right. They're more positive. Right?
Yeah. So we love that. And we love the breathing. That's so important because one of the things that I've been focusing on for digestion, and Maura too, but Maura's a little bit, it's like Maura has her legs tied and her arms tied behind her back because she has to do it. If she's with the kids somewhere, she has to try to eat calmly while playing referee, serving them their food, you know, and getting them their food and all those things.
Or I'll also like tend to eat standing
I
sometimes.
Know.
Which
I do that too. And I'm like, you know, this is
because yeah. I'm like, I feel like I can't sit or something. It's so weird. Yeah. And it's like so random. Like it's like a subconscious thing where I feel like I have other things to do. Oh. So I need to just stand so I can multitask, yeah. You know? And I'm like, no, I need to just sit. And sometimes I do. I have to sit there and take a few deep breaths because when I sit, I feel like I'm like, I am not.
Yeah. I'm not being productive anymore. I'm doing something wrong. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When I was first like learning and reading about breathing and breath work, I read that if you close, like hold your right nostril closed and breathe just through your left, that's like even better because it sort of like initiates the vagal nerve between your brain and your stomach. So that's what we first tried with my kids. Which every time now we can't even do it. We just have to normal breathe.
Well, I'm doing it right now
because they're all. I mean, I have three boys. So. All they can think of is like blowing, blowing boogers out all over the table. So our whole table is just laughter. And I'm like, okay, well, this is healthy too. It's not exactly the same. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. So we can't do that.
Well,
one.
You know, you make a good point, and Maura makes a good point about the slowing down because I noticed, and when I realized this, I was like, never again, because I have a very specific morning routine. I meditate, I do my daily devotional, I do some reading, I go through my day. And there were days in the past where I would wake up and I'd be like, so much to do, mm-hmm. not going to do this today. And because I neglected myself, where I can, you know, start my day on the right, you know, take care of myself, mind, body, spirit. I was miserable all day. And, you know, the same thing could be said for that, you know, standing to eat when you're in a hurry. You know, nowadays, you know, even today when I was eating lunch, I closed my eyes. I tried to taste the different flavors in my mouth. So all of those things I think are, and of course, it just makes the house a calmer place, which is, I think any parent's goal is to make the house a calmer place and find ways to, you know, keep everybody quiet without saying shut up, you know, like that's the you know, visceral response to like screaming and stuff. So these are great good. Techniques.
And you mentioned mindful eating too. That could be a whole interview in itself, but anything you can do to talk about food,
yeah.
about Absolutely. How food makes you feel, about how food tastes, about, you know, how food makes you feel an hour later. Like this is so, we're so disconnected as Americans from how food affects our bodies that's a really important skill to build in kids. Really hard. It's not one that I'm Absolutely. Very good at, but I'm working
on it. Well, you just reminded me, I'm going to write that one down in the notes too, because this is an easy thing we can do with the kids is just say, hey, what are you tasting? Do you taste the cinnamon? Do you taste, what do you taste in your mouth right now? Close your eyes, you know? And obviously for me and for my wife, both of us, like, and for any parent, honestly, is you look at your parents, you look at the kid and you look at him closing his eyes and you just like, look at this adorable little child trying to imagine what the food tastes like. So you get a free extra
That's
cute.
That's true. Added bonus. Yeah.
Good juju.
Yeah. Free cuteness. Well, Katie, like we said, we are short on time, but gosh, it's amazing the information information that you provided to us in such a short time. I want to let our listeners know that we are not involved with Katie at all. I want them to understand that this is not an infomercial, but you bring so much value. And like, I get your emails all the time, and it's just every single time I get your emails, like, it's just packed with information. You're one of those people that I don't know how you do it. We have another friend who's like that, who just does all the things, you know, Liz.
She has more hours.
Yeah, maybe you have like some sort of time warp that you go into, at 4 p.m. that brings you back 4 hours later, and
no,
it's like 3 p.m.
No, that's still on my wish list, but for now it's just eating vegetables and making my kids do some work.
I love it.
Well, that helps too.
Well, hey, you know what? Having the kids help you, that does it. Frees up some time. Like, hey, man, can you make dinner tonight?
Yeah. Why don't you dice this for me or season this for me and put it away for later? Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, we wanted to give you an opportunity to share where people can find you. Where can they find you on social media, online?
Definitely. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Kids Cook Real Food. And then kidscookrealfood.com is kind of the hub for keeping kids healthy. So that's where you can find information both about teaching kids to cook. And then just like you guys, my mission is to get that young generation healthier. So I'm constantly doing interviews and sharing content and helping parents. Like, we have to be educated first, then we can kind of change our minds, and then we can change our habits. So I'm all about that education and then the action part with our classes. So super excited to connect with your audience. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We saw you. It was a Butcher Box letter that I got. And I was like, wait, what? You know, teaching kids to cook? I instantly reached out. And so I'm so happy that we connected. And I'm so happy that our audience is going to meet you. And I just want to implore our audience to not give in to that whole thing like, maybe later. Do it now, you know, because your kids are going to grow up before you know it. So like, we're very much about that. You know, do these things now. Don't let time pass, because before you know it, they're 7 and then they're 12 and then they're
graduating. Right. Yours are still 7. They're a little bit motivated. I can tell you that by the time they're 10 and 13, if like my older two are, if they don't have any like skills and habits yet, way harder to start new things.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Katie.
Loved it, guys. Thanks for introducing me to your audience.